IVM.
Welcome to Police Chowkee, a special limited series on your favorite public policy podcast, All Things Policy. This series will take you behind the khaki uniform, beyond the flashing red beacon, and into the heart of the functioning of the Indian police force. We cast a critical eye on the role and function of the police in the Indian democracy, from the silent persistence of paperwork and meticulous investigation to risky counterterrorism efforts and policing in conflict zones. We explore the need for police reform and accountability in the system. Each episode brings you a comprehensive exploration of a unique facet of policing, illuminated by the insights of a former IPS officer who has lived the life behind the badge. So join us every Monday morning as we take you into the complex world of Police Chowkee.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Police Chowkee. I'm your host, Shri Krishna Upadhyaya, and we have a special guest on the show today, Mr. Ramakrishna with us. Mr. Ramakrishna is a former IPS officer, having served in the West Bengal cadre. He's an expert in mounted police and equestrian games, which is the topic of our conversation today. Welcome on the show, Mr. Ramakrishna. Very happy to have you today.
I'm very, very happy to be here and to get an opportunity to speak about the mounted police, which is perhaps one of our most active units of the police and doing a lot of good job in many places.
Right. And I'm very excited to know about this topic. But before we begin, I would also like to welcome our regular guest on the show, Mr. Javed Ahmed today. Mr. Ahmed is a former IPS officer from Uttar Pradesh. Mr. Ahmed, welcome back to Police Chowkee and happy to have you.
Good afternoon, Sri, and a very warm welcome to my esteemed senior, Ramakrishna Saab. We've heard about you a lot. Good opportunity to talk to you today, and what better topic than mounted police, which I'm sure is your kind of passion as well. So welcome on the show, sir.
Right.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for inviting me also. Thank you.
So I thought the best place to sort of begin the conversation today would be, you know, looking at the history of mounted police in India, right? And I'm very curious to know, how did this come into the picture? Because, you know, cavalry was always a part of Indian forces even before the British came in. But a lot of studies sort of attribute the entry of mounted police into the Indian and law enforcement with the British, right? So, Mr. Ramakrishna, I want to know from you, what is the history of mounted police in the country? Did the British introduce it, or does it predate the British Raj? And how did the role of sort of mounted police evolve over the years till we achieved independence?
As far as the history shows, that the mounted police was pre-existing, and particularly during when the East India Company was ruling. But in those days, the sort of weapons and other things that were carried were not so very effective. And subsequently, it was in 1840, after the introduction of the mounted police in London, that we had the mounted police in India. And the first mounted police in India was in Calcutta. Calcutta Mounted Police is the oldest mounted police in India. And it's perhaps one of the largest mounted police presently in India. The mounted police in Calcutta has about 90 odd horses. And to some extent, I wouldn't say it's the largest, because BSF has got a larger contingent of horses than the Calcutta Mounted Police. And Calcutta Mounted Police has since been, the metropolitan city of Calcutta has been totally looked after by the Calcutta Mounted Police. And they've been doing various duties, and they still continue to do the various duties. You will also recollect very recently during the cricket match in the Calcutta Mounted Police lost two of its horses, because after the match was over, which the mounted police was deployed even after sunset, and the bursting of crackers resulted in the horses just running away, and they lost two of their horses in this incident.
Right. And I'll come to you, you know, what is the role of mounted police in law enforcement today? But just a little bit more about the history, I would like to know, because you said it was introduced in Calcutta, right? But today, many of the major cities, including some of them which were not ruled by the British Raj as such, even the princely states, the cities which belonged to the princely states back then, continue to have mounted police. So what is sort of like the history, say, in Mysore, in Bangalore, or some other cities in the country?
In Bangalore, Karnataka, Karnataka Mounted Police, which is located in Mysore, is also one of the very old mounted police in the country. After Calcutta, we had a mounted police in various other cities, including Madhya Pradesh, in Uttar Pradesh. And today, I think we have a large number of mounted police units in the country, including Delhi has its own mounted police. In the last All India Police Equestrian mounted event, we had 22 teams participating, 22 state and CPO teams participating, the largest ever in a mounted police event. So Mumbai Police is perhaps the only mounted police that has wound up. They, during the last decade or so, they had started developing their mounted police unit, and they had also got some trainers. They had were developing their mounted police, but for a reason unknown to me, they have reportedly wound up the mounted police in Mumbai.
Right. And Mr. Ahmed, I want to know from you, so what is sort of the background of mounted police in Uttar Pradesh, where you serve?
In Uttar Pradesh, it was used as a rural force, and for patrolling in the rural areas. And then it was also very effectively used for the anti-decoy operations. Punjab also similarly had mounted police, but it was not a very organized mounted police. They had their largest contingent in the police training college at Filor. And in some of the districts, they had mounted police units. If you look into this thing of Indian police officers, the Indian police officers were entitled to an allowance for maintaining a horse, and which was paid in addition to their salary. And the one of the condition was that the day they stopped keeping a mount, then they would be not entitled to that allowance that they were receiving in addition to that pay.
Yeah, just to add to what Sri Ramakrishnan said, about UP, I can say that along with the officers who were given an allowance for maintaining a mount, the station in charges or the thana in charges were also given us an amount of money to maintain horses. I think they were allowed to keep two horses so that at all times at least one was fresh and available for duty. The other interesting thing I want to highlight is that the UP police regulations have very clear-cut details about the kind of horses that can be bought. I remember as a young SP, I had gone once to a place called Bateshwar near Agra to purchase horses for the Uttar Pradesh police. And if I'm not wrong, they had specifications about how long the length of the horse, the height of the horse, and various other specifications were clearly mentioned, and only those horses that met those specifications could be bought by the UP police. And this was very well known to the traders, because they used to come and say, these horses are meeting your requirements, come and have a look. So it seems to have been very well thought out as far as the kind of horses they wanted, and also the kind of and the breeds, etc., that were available for that and this kind of duty. And this was well known among the people who were trading in this kind of thing.
Right.
The specifications for the mounted police horses was that it had to have a minimum height of 15 hands. 15 hands is almost equivalent to 60 inches. So the height was measured from the withers of the horse, just at the neck and to the ground, it had to be 60 inches. And normally, most of the state police horses had half-bred horses. And the most common was the Kathiawari brand of horses, which came from Gujarat. And very few of the mounted police units had thoroughbred horses. and the mounted units like the then Madras Mounted Police Unit, Calcutta Mounted Police, they had a sizable section of thoroughbred horses, which was not available for the other mounted units.
Right. I'm very fascinated by this aspect of, you know, animals playing such a critical part in law enforcement in the country. And these days, we often see this in the case of sniffer dogs, right? And sniffer dogs are often in the news because these dogs are highly trained. They can sniff out drugs and bombs and so on. And in fact, you know, the police personnel sort of organize these elaborate ceremonies. There's a passing out parade for sniffer dogs. When they retire from service, they are given a treat and, you know, there's a whole ceremony around it. So I want to know from you, is it something similar with horses? What is the relationship between the horse and the one who sort of takes care of it, the one who is in charge of it? Is it a close bond? Are horses also, you know, in parades and so on? So what is that relationship like?
The mounted police horses, the horses are trained by the respective state or the CPOs to which they belong. Earlier, the police riders had an opportunity to go for training with the army. The RVC, remount centers in Meerut, and had some seats reserved for police people also to come and join the equitation course. Unfortunately, over the years, the equitation course for police riders has been done away with. So police riders for the last almost two decades do not get the opportunity of getting trained, getting professional training. The horses are trained by the unit themselves. There is a regular training schedule for them. But the main thing is that unless the rider is well trained, it is not possible to get good horses. That is one of the biggest problems that the mounted police is facing today in our country. The Border Security Force at one point of time in somewhere around 2000, they had thought of running a equitation course at the BSF Academy, Tekkenpur. And they had started one course also where they invited only the riders. And the riders could use the BSF horses for their training. But thereafter, there has nothing been done for the training of the sawars or the officer rank in the mounted police units. And whatever training they get is the training that they get in their units. Some of the state police units have appointed people, ex-cavalry personnel for their mounted police units, and they are utilized for giving training to the sawars. But again, the main thing is that if the sawar is not well trained, you can't expect a well trained horse either.
Right.
Yeah. You talked about the bond between the animal and the trainer. Let me tell you that bond is extremely special and extremely close. We have all experienced how much the size cares for the horse, and how much the horse understands everything that the size wants out of him or does for him, and that bond is extremely symbiotic. Just like in the case of a dog trainer, where the dog trainer can virtually dictate exactly what he wants from the dog in the course of his duty or even otherwise. Similarly, for a rider, his horse is part of his own. He's an extension of his own self, and therefore, without that kind of bond, the intensive training that he has to that the horse has to undergo, and the kind of duties that it has to perform, I don't think will be possible. On a slightly lighter note, let me recall that when we were training in Hyderabad and doing our riding classes, we were sitting on the horses and trying to make it gallop or make it trot or whatever. But Hanuman Singh, who was our trainer, he would just say something from 500 yards off and the horse would understand. And despite everything that we were trying to do, sitting on the horse would do exactly what Hanuman Singh wanted.
Yes. And Hanuman Singh would often shout, साहब आप घोड़ा का संभाल नहीं सकते तो जिला का कैसे संभालोगे
एग्जैक्टली
या That's a very, very, very sweet story. I also want to come to, you know, the operational role played by the mounted police units, right? And I think, Mr. Ramakrishnan, you alluded to a couple of them. You said, you know, they took a part in the anti-dacoity operations that used to happen. They, of course, are used for crowd control during festivals, sports matches, protests, marches, and so on even today. And then also you talked about BSF because they have long borders to patrol, and they often rely on these cavalry to conduct those operations. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what kind of, like, you know, missions or duties mounted police units are used? What are the things they are tasked with? What is a day-to-day for them like?
So the mounted police have different duties. In the urban areas, for example, the Calcutta Mounted Police. The Calcutta Mounted Police presently is utilized very effectively for crowd control. It is used very effectively during the football matches. The East Bengal Mohammedan Sporting or Mohun Bagan matches, they attract a large crowd. And the Mounted Police is very effectively utilized for controlling this crowd and also for ensuring that their entry into the grounds, as well as when the match is over, when they leave, that is very well controlled. In city police like Calcutta, Bombay, Chennai, the mounted police is also very effectively utilized for crowd control. During demonstrations, during various processions by different parties, the mounted police plays a very, very important role, particularly during agitations. When the crowd has to be dispersed, then the mounted police plays a very effective role in the dispersal of the unruly crowd. So this is being very effectively used in Calcutta. From my personal experience, I've seen that once the foot police is able to disperse a crowd, when they give a first warning, then they may utilize, they may disperse them with a lathi charge, they may use tear smoke. But the main this thing is for the dispersal. And for the dispersal, the mounted police is very, very effective. Other than the dispersal, the mounted police also plays a very, very important role in regulating the crowd. When processions are coming from different places, the mounted police plays a very effective role in regulating them and making them follow the path that has been given to them by the police.
Yes, to add to what was mentioned, let me add that in UP, we have these huge melas, whether it is the Kumbh Mela or the Magh Mela or many other melas along the river Ganges and other rivers here, and these are huge congregations of lakhs and lakhs of people, mostly rural people who are devotees going to take a dip in the Ganges or some other important river. So because the mounted police personnel is sitting, you know, 5 feet, 6 feet, 5 feet, you know, on top of that, or from ground level, and then his torso is here. So he has the advantage of seeing the crowd over the heads of everyone else. And that gives him a very strategic and very, you know, useful vision of where the crowd is going, where the bottlenecks are, and where he needs to intervene. Because in crowd management, the most important thing is to keep the crowd moving. Because once the crowd stops, it starts getting panicky. So it is the job of the mounted police to wade through the crowd, even if the crowd is of lakhs and thousands, and it is able to do so because the horse finds its way and the people make way for the horse. And from the horse back, about 7-8 feet or 9-8 feet of vision, the handling of a crowd becomes that much easier. Secondly, the fact that the horse is, you know, much bigger than a human being, it carries with it, you know, 400, 500 kgs. I don't know how much it weighs. It has that, you know, momentum with it when it is moving. So naturally, the crowd kind of parts and makes way for it. And thereby, crowd control becomes much easier. Secondly, about the anti-dacoity operations, as a young SP, I have done that kind of work in the Chambal Ravines. And we've sat on horsebacks and gone to, within ravines. There are ravines within ravines, and they are very narrow passes and all that, where you cannot go on a four-wheeler or even on a bike, because it's very undulating. It's very, hairpin bends and all that. So the horse is the only way of reaching those places. So the reach of the horse, not only in terms of its ability to go to otherwise unreachable places, and also the height that it provides you are very useful tools for the police in different circumstances. And also in the case of the old cities in UP, where the narrow alleys, where cars and jeeps cannot go, it is the police horse and the rider who are able to go into the narrow alleys, even if it is like 3.5 feet wide. And the fact that the horse makes the clob of the horse's hooves is often enough of a deterrent for the antisocial elements.
Stay tuned to All Things Policy. We'll be right back after a short commercial break.
Sort of want to know from you, because as years passed after independence and as technology improved and the resources of the police improved, there have been a lot of change, say, in terms of the training, in terms of the equipment they carry, in terms of the technology that is made available to them and all. So, Mr. Ramakrishna, I want to know from you if as these technological developments sort of affected the mounted police as well, has it sort of made it more effective in any way? Are there more training or other sort of equipments which are available today because of technological changes that has sort of improved the operational capability of this force?
As I was mentioning to you earlier, the mounted police, the Sawars were normally generally trained by the army. But thereafter, the training of the Sawars has been a local arrangement. And till now not been any system or any organization that has undertaken this. Despite the fact that this has been taken up with the BPRND for running some sort of special courses with the help of any state police or CPO for the Sawars. Because unless the horses are trained properly, you won't be able to expect them to perform their duties in the way that you would want it. So this is one aspect that is lacking, and until and unless this can be improved, it can. So whatever efforts are being made for the training of the horses is local efforts, and through local efforts they are trying to improve their riders. And Mr. K.S. Rathore, he was very interested in riding, and he was also in the National Police Academy at Mount Abu, and he had started the equestrian meets so that the riders could improve their performance through these meets, and this continued for some time till about 73 or 74, we had these All India Police Equestrian Meets, after which it was discontinued. It was later in somewhere around in 1985-86 that Mr. A. A. Ali, when he was the director of the National Police Academy, he restarted this All India Police Equestrian Meets. And also to ensure that these meets could be held, he also formed an All India Police Equestrian Council at the National Police Academy, which used to organize these meets. In those days, we used to get about six or seven teams, BSF, Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh, and a few other teams used to come and participate. We used to hardly have about 30 horses. Over the years, this All India Police Equestrian Meets have been growing. And as I mentioned to you, in the last meet, we had 22 teams participating. And this earlier, the All India Police Equestrian Council used to look after the conduct of this meet, and the All India Police Equestrian Council had divided this meet into two parts. One was these normal equestrian events, that is at the national level, you have show jumping, dressage, tent pegging. And the second part of the meet was the mounted police duty meets. That is meets which are almost akin to the kind of duties that you are performing. So for example, we had quadrille competition. Quadrille competition is what you do in parades, in moving together in unison, making different formations in unison. So that was a competition that was also part of the All India Police Equestrian Meet. Then you had the police horse test. The police horse test tested a horse for its performance in rural areas. It also tested its performance for performing in urban areas. That means, how do you deal with a crowd? How do you go through cars? Are you frightened when going in between cars? So the mounted police tested the horses for all these capabilities that a horse is normally supposed to perform. So now today, the All India Police Equestrian Meet is, of course, organized by the All India Police Sports Control Board, and the Equestrian Federation of India gives support. But primarily, the meet is divided into two parts. One is the normal equestrian events, that is dressage, show jumping, tent pegging, etc. And the second part is the mounted police duty meets, that is totally concerned with the duties of a mounted police, be it a rural area or be it an urban area. And we find that a large number of teams are participating. And because of these meets, slowly the equestrian, state equestrian teams and the CPOs, they are making their own efforts to train their riders in a better manner. They are either taking the help of the National Police Academy, they are requesting the National Police Academy to depute some of their riding instructors for a short period of time to train their sawars. They are taking the help of the retired army cavalry instructors. And so this is making a lot of difference, and they're saying the standard of the equestrian, police riders and this thing has improved over the years primarily because of their this thing for participating in the All India Police Equestrian Meet, and thereby not only training themselves but also training their horses.
Yeah, if I can once again come in, Shri, I would like to ask Mr. Ramakrishna sir about the kind of equipment that is now given to the Sawad. Do they still use the leather saddlery, which is very heavy, or have they started using synthetic material for the saddlery, which is slightly lighter, and any other kind of equipment in terms of other accoutrements that are required?
As far as the saddlery is concerned, we are still using the old saddlery, the leather saddlery, the leather saddles. And for sports events and all, some of the teams are purchasing from their own funds. It's not a standard uniform item for the mounted police unit. But through the sports fund and other things, they're trying to purchase better quality saddles for use by the riders. But otherwise, generally, most of the saddlery equipment is of leather itself. And these are mostly provided by the manufacturers in Agra and various other places.
Right. So, this is purely out of curiosity. You mentioned that, there are two segments to these games, and the second one being training them in a sort of stimulated real life environments, and the first being just pure equestrian skills, right? And pardon my ignorance here. I just want to know from you, what are these different events which take place in an equestrian game? What are the different skills involved? How much of it is the sort of the skill and the talent of the rider, and how much is it of the horse? So if you could just, briefly take us through those.
Well, everything depends upon the rider. The rider is the one who trains his horse. But for the EFI events, we mainly have dressage. Dressage is how well you have trained the horse to do various movements. That with your aid, when you want it to move in a certain direction, you want it to extend itself, you want it to extend its pace. That is the test in the dressage. Then we have the show jumping. There are various events in show jumping, and that checks the agility of the horse, and as well as the skill of the rider to go along with the horse in these events. And then we have the tent pegging events. the tent pegging events are you have to pick up a tent, you have to pick up a peg at a different location. And so this is done by the, this totally depends upon the skill of the speed of the horse, as well as the skill of the rider. So the tent pegging is this event. The tent pegging is an individual tent pegging also, and the tent pegging is also team tent pegging, where three riders pick up pegs together.
Right. You know, this sort of like reminded me of this little bit of trivia about a place called Ejipura in Bangalore, right? And apparently the name Ejipura comes from the equestrian grounds, which was set up by the British near the cantonment back then, which was sort of shortened into EG and later it became Ejipura. So I just thought I'll share that. In any case, I sort of, let's zoom out and look at, you know, mounted police units across the world, because it's not just India, UK, Canada, US, and many other countries also have such police units. So I want to know from you, Mr. Ramakrishna, that what are the kind of roles and duties they perform? How similar is it to India? How different? Have they innovated in any way as far as mounted police units are concerned? Are there lessons that we can take? What is the global outlook like?
Well, in India, the mounted police units, as I've already explained, one is in the urban areas and one is in the rural areas. In London, the London Metropolitan Police performs almost in a similar manner as the Calcutta Mounted Police performs. They have various duties throughout in every day at various places, irrespective of their honorary duties. They perform do patrolling duties and in different places. The Raj Bhavan is, for example, the Raj Bhavan in Calcutta is guarded by the mounted police other than the foot police that we have. And the same thing happens in Buckingham Palace too. And in America also, the mounted police is also used for patrolling as well as for guarding purposes. And in India, we are also performing almost in a similar manner as is being done in these in the other places around the world.
Yeah, for example, in Texas, there's this Texas Rangers who are mounted police per person. As you know, Texas is a very wide, wild and wide open country. So I think horseback patrolling is the possibly the only most practical patrolling methodology available. Similarly, in the case of the New South Wales in Australia and also in Victoria, and also in Tasmania, reportedly, they have mounted police units which patrol the outflung areas where it's not easy for individuals to do foot patrolling, that is on foot, or for four-wheelers to go, even though now we have off-roader vehicles, but the horseman has the advantage of being able to go to areas or places which are otherwise inaccessible, and also being able along the way to talk to a lot of people. So that's another advantage that mounted police personnel have. They can be moving in an area and be actually seeing and interacting with people rather than just zipping by in a car. So the mounted constabulary in various parts of the world is still live and kicking. And I think the kind of duties that they perform, whether it is in the urban areas or in the wild areas which are otherwise inaccessible, they will continue to have a very important role police duties, especially crowd management and a lot of ceremonial as well.
Yeah. So I was just going to come to the ceremonial duties aspect of mounted police, because anybody who has seen photos of, you know, police parades, Republic Day parades and all have seen these cavalry units marching. Even the president's bodyguards consists of cavalry units in our country. So could you talk a little bit more about the ceremonial functions performed by the mounted police units, and how important is it for the ethos and the morale of the units?
Well, as far as the ceremonial units are concerned, whenever there is any ceremonial unit in the Raj Bhavan, you'll find the mounted police guarding all the important entrances into the Raj Bhavan. In addition to this, during the Republic Day parade, there is always a contingent of the mounted police participating along with foot units. And the mounted police in Calcutta, in their ceremonial dress, they definitely give out a very nice impression about a uniformed force. And it gives a very good impression about the police units. So the more essentially, these are the duties, the ceremonial functions that the mounted police carries out in different parts of the country.
It's part of the grandeur that is expected out of any celebration or any parade, whether it is being conducted in the state capital or in the national capital. The presence of well turned out sawars on shining horses, shining tall horses, is always a very grand picture, and it adds to the overall atmosphere of a grand event. And while there may be other vehicles and other things, a man and his animal is always something that gives you a slightly romantic tinge to such events.
Right. So my final question before we close the chat today is, what do you think is the future, or rather, how does the future for mounted police in the country look like? Because a lot has changed over the years with newer technology, better equipment, more vehicles and so on. The way police roles and operations are performed has also changed. Now you have drones and everything, which can also help in surveillance and so on, right? So what, according to you, is the future for mounted police units? To what extent should it be a priority for public policy in the country as far as resource allocation within the police is concerned? How should we prioritize mounted police? So what are your thoughts on some of these issues?
Well, the mounted police continues to play a very, very important role in various police duties, which we have already spoken about. The other aspect is that a lot of professionalism is developing in the mounted police units. For example, the only mounted police manual that we had was the one that was published in 1930 when the Britishers were here. Thereafter, the Calcutta Mounted Police has very recently come up with a mounted police manual. The National Police Academy has also come out with a model manual for mounted police units, which covers various aspects of mounted police duties, not only their duties, their training, and how they could be effectively used for various law and order duties and such other duties. And the another aspect that has come about is that earlier we totally depended upon the local brand of horses, but today the race horses, a large number of race horses which are not being utilized for race, are being disposed of by the race courses, thoroughbred horses. And there is a recent development, not only in Calcutta Mounted Police, but the Border Security Force, the National Police Academy, they are taking a large number of these race horses, which are thoroughbred horses, and training them for mounted police duties. And they have been, that has been a very, very effective sort of step that has been taken by the various units. The cost of mounted the cost of a horse has also gone up from about 15,000 to 20,000. Today you can't get a horse even from the army for less than 1.5 lakhs of rupees. If you go to the market, you won't get a good horse for less than 2 lakhs of rupees. But these race horses, because of where the race trainers find that a particular horse is unfit for being utilized for race horse racing, but is otherwise a sound horse, they are ready to sell them, or in many instances they are also giving them as free gifts to the mounted police unit, because they know that if they go to a mounted police unit, they will get a very good home for that particular horse. And it is now what has to be developed is some sort of an art or some sort of expertise in collecting all the learnings training of these mounted, these race horses, and which can be a very, very good asset to the mounted police units in the country. But mounted police units are growing. It's not that mounted police units are being shut down. It has been found that they are very effective and it is growing.
Yeah, so the advantage with a mounted police deployment is that you have a force multiplier in terms of in the form of a horse. And then on top of that is a human being, a trained police officer who also knows riding. So that combination is quite useful, as I said, for crowd control, for accessing otherwise inaccessible areas, whether in urban areas or in the rural areas. So despite technology and despite the coming of drones and such other things, I think the human touch that that a sawar brings to policing will always be important. Unless, of course, we can come up with robotic horses on which sawars can sit. That also is a possibility. And before I end, one last thing I would like to add is that while we have talked a lot about the horses, let us not forget that the camels that the BSF uses on the Indo-Pakistan border in the deserts, the particular terrain there of deserts is can be negotiated only on camelback. And we've all seen in parades in that national capital over the years how well trained and well looked after those camels are. And I can tell you that they perform absolutely brilliant duties along the line of control on the Indo-Pakistan border.
Right. So thank you so much to both of you for joining me in this conversation today and talking about the lesser known and sort of lesser talked about aspects of Indian police force, which is mounted police and equestrian skills and so on, which I still believe is so critical for us all to understand and appreciate. And a big salute to all those animals out there serving us, horses, camels, dogs, and so on, because they also play a very important part in keeping us safe and secure. And thanks especially to you, Mr. Ramakrishna, for taking your time out today and sharing your expert views with us.
Thanks a lot for inviting me. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website takshashila.org.in.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach Podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week, Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank, and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.